to deal with our proposed agenda this evening. First of all, as is our custom, we have with us Pastor Barry Ample of the Ellensburg Community Church, and I would certainly ask everyone to stand while he opens up our meeting with a word of prayer. Pastor Ample.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here, to speak your name. I want to ask, Lord, a blessing over this gathering tonight, over the council members, Lord, and their families. Pray that you would just bless them and provide and take care. I thank you, Lord, for all that are gathered here tonight and the love and the investment and the concern they have for their town. Just ask as well a blessing over them, that all things will be done in a way that honors you and each other. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I would ask at this time, is any member of the council, any pecuniary interest they wish to declare? If not, we'll have that entered into the minutes, and certainly during this exercise, if one finds themselves in conflict, notification of the chair identifying what the conflict is, then we certainly will have it entered into the minutes. That brings us, of course, to the previous minutes held by this council. What is council's pleasure relative thereto? Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the minutes as listed in items 1 through 3 be adopted as per the recommendation, and further that the special council meeting minutes of April 16, 2012 be adopted as amended.
There is support for that motion. Councilor DePasquale supports that motion. Is there any discussion relative to that motion? Any comments, concerns? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously. That then brings us, of course, this evening to our presentation. And we have with us this evening, Kenny Malash. No, Ken, you don't have to stand up, of course not. We have with us, of course, Ken Malash, who is one of our employees. Kenny has served the community, working for the town for over 30 years. He's been a very active member of the Anderton Township. Ken, of course, before amalgamation took place back in 1988, he served on the water board for the Township of Anderton from 1978 to 1980. And then, of course, on May the 25th, he was hired by Anderton as a drainage inspector. And what took place later on as a means of greater efficiency, the water division and the road division were combined. Ken became the heavy equipment operator belonging to the International Hoisting Engineers Union. Ken was a member of the Optimist Club, a member of the Knights of Columbus for 47 years, and also president of the River Kennard Youth Center. So Ken is here this evening to be recognized for his service to the community. He served 10 years, of course, on the Recreation Committee in the Township of Anderton, and he had, and it's nice to hear this, Ken, one of the things that he had suggested is that he wanted to ensure that he showed his appreciation for being employed for within these municipalities, then also he also offered a special thanks to Lou Zarlinga, to Kevin Atkinson, and Barry Anderson, along with, of course, the employee that he worked with for many, many years, for their friendship, for their support, and for their encouragement. And certainly I want to, at this time, on behalf of council and the residents of Amherstburg, to offer our sincere appreciation for the services of the years, Ken, and we wish you a very, very happy retirement. I think we have Dave Mickle here this evening, do we not?
Yes.
That's going to make a presentation for 30 years on behalf of the union.
Ken, on behalf of Local 636 IBEW, congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
I know you will enjoy it.
Thank you very much, buddy.
And Carol, you've got some presentations you'd like to make?
Okay.
Hired in charge of my life. I waited till he did it.
You're on set?
I'll say it again.
You said a bit, okay.
Thank you very much, I really, really appreciate it.
Next on our agenda, we have delegations, and I'd ask Brenda if she'd be kind enough to walk us through the delegation this evening.
Our first delegation, Chris Yule, speed limit for watercraft in the Walter D. Ranta Marina Channel.
Chris, would you come forward, please?
Thank you again. Why not?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Please have a seat. Push the light on. Yep.
Mayor, Deputy Mayor, Amherstburg Council. I put forward this proposal in regards to excessive speeding in the Walter D. Ranta Channel. What I'm asking basically is to put non-regulatory signs in place on a certain portion of the Ranta Channel. For the past couple of years, there have been several, much more activity on the river. And I'm seeing a lot more speeding, small channel, a lot of activity in the Edgewater Beach area, along with the Cooper's Marina, launching boats. We're seeing a lot more activity, which is great. Love it. You know, it's nice to see people back out on the water again. But for some unknown reason, we're seeing a lot more excessive speed in this whole channel area. I know it's a long ways out from Ranta, but in a certain area, we'd really like it to be limited to at least a 5 mile an hour zone. I've encountered myself, unfortunately, a close incident, and I don't want that to happen again. I contacted the Amherstburg Marine Unit, and they said it's hard to enforce the area with the Marine Unit not being able to get out there as often as possible. I then contacted the OPP, which I thought would be able to talk to the Ranta organization. They just said go back to your municipality and ask the Amherstburg Police Unit. So I then went to the Marine Unit, Marine Safety in Sarnia, talked to them about what I can do to find out how we can get this area a little more safer than it is. They then forwarded me to talk to the Amherstburg Town Council, which I am here tonight. I'm asking for just the portion in which you see the map on the wall there. Just north of Cooper's Marina, there's a peninsula that jets out that I would like to go south of Wolf Island, approximately 100 feet from the breakwall. It's just, you can't really see the Wolf Island area. This is just a small portion, thank you. This is a small portion in which boaters, I'm just asking for a speed limit, and for not enforcement, just notification that this is an area of concern. That's pretty much basically. There's a couple other things. There's large wakes that come in. There's a floating dock at Cooper Marina that boaters have. They get tossed around. My neighbor's boats get tossed around. We have an open canal. We understand there is some action, but when there's a large wake that comes in, it really trashes the boats a bit. It really knocks them around, and it causes damage to the docks and whatnot. Basically, again, I would ask for the council to help me with this, in forwarding this proposal and getting it through.
Thank you. Just before I open it up to council, we have our chief of police, and it seems you've been given the runaround by everybody. I don't need a response from you. I'm just saying you went to all over the place. But, chief, could you respond to us relative to this particular delegate, please, and his concern?
Sure. What I've been able to find out, Mr. Mayor, is that the regulation of the speed of vessels on the water comes under the authority of Transport Canada. And it sounds like Mr. Yule has done his homework and has looked that up. And it's quite a process. There has to be consultations with all the stakeholders, including members of the public, people that live in that area, and so on. So it is quite involved. As far as enforcement goes, our marine unit only gets out periodically a few times a year. It costs us about $1,000 a day to deploy the boat. So to enforce a speed limit anywhere on the waterway would be quite costly to the taxpayers of Amherst. I would, if council so chooses, or if Mr. Yule is successful in having this speed limit in place there, I would have to work with the OPP to see if we could somehow work on some sort of plan to enforce the speed limit in that area. But again, it would be quite costly.
Thank you very much. Councilor Davis.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I can totally appreciate boats being banged around by wakes in an area that's not supposed to have wakes. I'm just, this is just a stretch, but I'm just wondering if there could be like a neighborhood watch. If somebody, I'm sorry, I see some groans there, but you know, if somebody sees an infraction and reports that the coating is right on the boat, you only need, I'll tell you, the rumors get around. You get three or four guys fined for speeding, the rumors get around and it stops a lot faster than seeing a police boat, and people slow down because they see the police boat. And I don't think it's that far-fetched to say that if there's a way of confirming that people who are really being affected had binoculars and got the number, phoned it in, it could go. I mean, if somebody can come up with something that would work better, that's of course wonderful, but it happens in other situations. You have neighborhood watches and all kinds of crimes slow down. You have neighborhood watch on the water, possibly people might consider, get a few reports, even if police just question them, they'll know that people are watching, and then it could quickly resolve. So it's just one thought as far as neighborhood cooperation.
Councillor Sutton, followed by Councillor DePasquale, Councillor Puget, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the Chief. Chief, I think we all know that it's beyond council's purview to establish the speed limit. But would we even have the authority to erect non-regulatory signs as just a deterrent to the speed issue?
Mr. Mayor, through you. You know, Mr. Sutton, I'm not even sure about that. This is definitely under the authority of Transport Canada, and I would have to consult with them on that issue. I'm sorry, but I just don't know.
No, just a follow-up. I think that's totally understandable, Chief. I think just think from a local level, it sounds more like perhaps an information campaign through both the Rancho Marina and Cooper's Marina in terms of urging both their seasonal boaters and their transient traffic as well to, you know, try and pay attention to, you know, local concerns that maybe, you know, that's one step we could all take together in a positive direction, because I have no doubt that most boaters, when they're made aware of a situation like that, will do their best to, you know, try and obey the rules as they're stated.
I agree with you, Mr. Sutton. I think something along that line would be very fruitful, because I would imagine that most of the people that use those marinas down there are frequent customers. So if we can get the word out through them, through flyers or signs, I'm sure it would help.
I see we've got Mr. Delicata in the audience. Mr. Delicata, as one of the owners of Ranta, what do you do in a case like this?
Well, I've got one of our employees here, Lisa. On our ramp passes, it states your weight clearly.
No, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
On our ramp passes, it stated clearly no wakes, the speed limit for the channel. Our girls do talk to the people, let them make them aware of it, about it. We go out of our way to make sure. Like, I never received a complaint, so I'm caught off guard by this here tonight. But if there's something we can do to make it easier in the future and make things a little smoother, you know, let us know. We'll see what we can do. We'll try
so,
to cooperate.
So based on what you're hearing here tonight, you could go back to the voter and inform them by correspondence or something, hey, listen.
We'll print up some flyers and whatnot. Exactly. As the voters come in, bring their votes for the new season, we'll give them some literature of the speed limit and to be respectful of the neighbors.
Thank you very much. Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Hurst. I like that idea. If it can be handled locally, I think it's a good idea. Start with that. And if that doesn't work, well, then eventually maybe we can try the other and see if we can get it done through Transport Canada.
Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And basically all my questions have been answered, except for one, and I'm not really sure if it there's a posting of the no-wake zone in that area, but nothing at all.
No, from my understanding, it's illegal to post in no-wake zones.
It is.
It has to be a speed limit itself. Yeah.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You just said something that I wasn't aware of as a voter for 30 years. I wasn't aware that you can't have a no-wake zone because I boat all over in the U.S. waters and here. And I know that at the end of Wolf Island, right on the break wall there, as I'm coming in from the channel, there is a no-wake zone sign.
It was taken down.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't have my boat in the water yet. So
that's a problem.
The other thing is that it's not the boaters at Ranta Marina that are causing this problem at all. One or two, maybe, but they've been certainly corrected. And I know for the 3.5 years that I leased that marina from the town before it was sold, any boaters that came into the marina at a high wake of speed, they were giving a warning. And Lisa Scott has worked for us and has worked for the town for a long time and now works for the Ranta Marina people. They had the authority to ban anyone from that marina, and people were banned with no repercussion. They could not come back. And the thing is that Lisa told me today that they are doing exactly what Mr. Delicata said they will do. Every ramper that comes in is going to get a flyer saying that it is absolutely no tolerance or zero tolerance or however you can put it, that you cannot do that. I mean, it's a no-wake zone.
Okay.
And the thing is that from what I've understood, even when the town ran this marina when I was a boater there prior, as well being a boater now, once you clear the channel at 104, the last well, and you make that turn, that's not the marina property anymore. So really it's not at the onus of Ranta Marina. And I really respect the fact that Mr. Delicata is going to do what he's going to do as much as he can. And I can speak for another thing, is that any time any of the boaters that I travel with, when we're coming out that channel that you can see right there, and when there's a boat coming in at a high wake of speed, we'll split it to two and cover the channel and stand up and do this and make them stop, or they'll go around outside of the channel. And it has happened where one or two of them are run aground and we'll stand there and do this because that's what that should happen. So we do are back to Councillor Davies' question of neighborhood watch. We're doing it ourselves as boaters. I mean, we respect what's going on and we're not the ones that are causing the problem. I just wanted to make that statement. Thank you very much.
Councillor DePasquale. I mean, Councillor Pion. Councillor Pion.
Thank you. I didn't think I looked like Bert, but that's okay. I only wish. Chief, through the mayor, to the chief. Is the Canada Transport Act, is there not a speed limit within 100 feet of the mainland of 10 miles an hour?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding, there is, but again, I'm no expert on it. From what I understand, there's a certain distance. And I thought it was 100 feet, 30 meters, but I could be mistaken.
You know,
but the problem is patrolling it, and that's our biggest issue.
Well, that's, you're correct. It's if you put something there, my recommendation would be that it should be enforceable, and so that we can do something about it. But what I'm saying is, it is very expensive to enforce anything on the water.
Council's pleasure.
Mr.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move the delegation for Mr. Yule be received, and further that council send correspondence to both Cooper's and Rantham Marina asking for their cooperation and sharing the information and concerns with their voters and transient voters as well.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Pouget supports that motion. Further discussions? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you. Next item.
That brings us to reports under development services. 12.1, 2012 truck tender results for bylaw enforcement.
Before council, with council's pleasure, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd move the report by Steve Brown dated April 11th, 2012, regarding the 212 truck tender results we received, and further the council award the tender to the lowest bidder, Joe Melosh Ford Sales Limited, for the purchase price, or the purchase of a 212 half-ton pickup truck in the amount of $26,212 plus HST, which is in our budget.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Reports under Engineering and Infrastructure, 13.1, 2012 to 2017 Garage and Yard Waste Contract Update and Additional Yard Waste Options.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a follow-up question. I spoke to Lou this afternoon regarding this to get some clarification and not put him on the spot for the questions that would come out. And I spoke to Lou just prior to the meeting starting tonight, and he's got some answers for it. So, I mean, I can repeat the questions, Lou, just so that we're on the same page here. But I'd asked you regarding the paragraph you have here in respect to budgetary issues, the Public Works Department was to be able to provide the following reductions: the new contract, water yard waste operations, and the heavy equipment purchase cancellation. And my question was, can we use the yard waste operation saving of 44.5 or 350 rather to implement an extra day? And you do have an answer for me on that, but I thought it only fair to state the question here.
Mr. Mayor, the amount that we're looking at is an amount shown in my report. It's $44,350, and this is comprised of three separate items. And this actually was an event that happened after the budget was passed, and the town found itself in a position that we had to find some additional funds to offset some tax appeals. And specifically, in consultation with our treasurer, Paul Beneteau, we looked at the garbage, some additional savings from the garbage contract in the amount of $23,000, additional savings for reduction of the staffing at the yard waste depot for $19,000, and a reduction for some rental equipment that we would ordinarily use at the yard waste depot for another $2,350, totaling the $44,350. This amount, Mr. Mayor, I believe has already been earmarked for these savings that I alluded to.
Okay. Further discussions on the report. Councilor Pouget, followed by Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Lou. And Lou, when if we discuss the Saturday or Sunday, are we obligated to have full-time or part-time staff according to contractual agreements, or can we just have our students out there, which would really be a significant savings?
Mr. Mayor, the report also has a number, quite a few options, and it shows various hours, various days, utilizing full-time staff, permanent staff, and then part-timers too. So we just basically have a menu that we can choose from, and there is a recommendation that I made at the end of the report.
But last year, if I just may, last year we had the part-time or seasonal students there.
Yes, we had students.
That's something to be clear of. Follow up.
But that doesn't answer my question. Are we obligated to have full-time staff on the weekend, or can we just go with students?
No, we're not obligated.
Counselor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Hurst. I received numerous complaints like the rest of the council. From what I can see, and after reading Lou's report, would it not be more prudent to open on a Saturday and maybe just open it for 4 hours, and if need be, if the crowd's that busy, just keep them on for a couple more hours? Like, we don't have to utilize the whole 8 hours and just play it by ear that way. The last complaints I got was they were lined up out, like way up in Timbuktu. They were lined up and there was near a road rage there. So something to think about by council.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland, followed by Councilor Sutton, followed by Councilor Davies.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm prepared to make a motion, but should we?
Go ahead.
I'd move the report from Lou with the addition of, item B, number two, which is providing an extra 5 hours of service on a Saturday. I'll say it was Saturday for now, and with a follow-up from Public Works on a monthly basis to see how this is working out and if it has to be readdressed from time to time.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. On the motion itself, further discussion. Councilor Sutton, Councilor Davies, Councilor Pelon.
Just let me be clear on the motion as it's stated first before I ask my question. So are we talking about, in addition to Wednesday, an additional 5 hours on Saturday?
Yep.
Okay.
That's
okay.
As per the recommendation.
Okay, just wanted to be clear on that. Yeah, I think I can certainly support that. But it's something I think we've got to put a time limit on and definitely have some discussion in budget. So I think what we need back from Lou, if the motion passes, going into next year's budget is, you know, how well utilized was it as opposed to curbside, so that we can make the appropriate adjustments and really give our residents the service that they want as opposed to what we think they want. And that way, I think, you know, we'll be best served. So, Lou, if we could somehow track that. The other suggestion I would have is that, you know, if we engage in composting, I think there's some savings or a way of paying for itself. Because obviously, you know, we get comments all the time about our parks and how great they look. And, you know, whether it's compost for our flower beds or, you know, the roto beds, whatever it is, if we can utilize that at the yard waste depot with some of the materials that are there, it'll have some savings in terms of the things that we'll buy. It's that black gold, as they like to say. So I think we can incorporate those things in the future as well.
Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In your report, you did mention that the folks did weigh it. I think it was 79 ton, but it wasn't distinguished between whether or not that was all of the pickup or the Thomas. And I hope it would be possible that they could separate the two weights so that we could see whether or not the weight for Thomas Road was staying at the same, or if it starts to come down, because that'll tell us whether or not the need is constant, increasing, or whether or not that's going down over time as people get used to the pickup in the yard waste. The other thing, I've got lots of comments as well. I'm wondering if that we could consider, instead of it being 8 to noon, a lot of people are just getting out, starting their gardening on the Saturday, so they've lost some time to get there for the noon. But if it could, and we could trial it, but to see whether or not a 10 to 2 or an 11 to 3, so that people can do their gardening and then get it to the yard while it's still open, I think might be useful, and we should monitor that to see whether or not that time would be more appropriate. And further, that in relationship to the composting, I realize that, you know, we may not have the composting setup, which is something we may have to look at. Either I'd like it to be immediately, but possibly in the future, but also mulching. We do get a lot of healthy mulch that we could possibly use for our horticultural areas and sell back to, or we could sell it back. I think people would be willing to support that, back to the community.
Councilor Pelon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple questions on it. I want to be very clear on what we're going to do. I'm looking at the current operation, 8 to noon, with full-time staff, is $14,000, basically. But you had an option B, you go Wednesday, when you change the hours from 12 to 4, which is still only 4 hours with full-time staff, it's 18,000. Like, do they make more money in the afternoon, or why would that go up? I'm just wondering why it has more money to be open in the afternoon as opposed to the morning.
And Mr. Mayor, I would ask, which specific option are you looking at here?
Well, under current operation costs, A, one, and then go to B, right underneath that, Lou.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why the difference.
Additional 5 hours on Saturdays.
Do you see it, Luke?
Yeah, I see it here. And I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, but I have to go back and check exactly what the differential is.
They do not get paid any additional pay for working the afternoon.
No, they don't. It's the same.
Yeah. Let's be clear.
So anyway, further to that, I know you'll check that. My recommendation, as part of what we have here, is the Wednesday, and I agree with Councilor Nagy's.
But we have a motion on the floor here.
I would like to see Wednesdays moved up a little later, and even put in 5 hours on the Wednesday, and go to Saturday the 5 hours. I think that may, as a start, to try it. See, that's what the recommendation right now is for Saturdays, 5 hours. Correct?
And Wednesday stays the same. Further discussion on the motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland. No, that's what his motion is.
Yeah. I have no problem.
Well, let's do it.
Can I make a... Sure. I'll amend that to change the hours on the Wednesday, but leave that at the discretion of Public Works, which is why I left Saturday open, because... To answer the questions for Councilor Davies and Councilor Sutton, I did have in the motion is that we'll have a report back from Lou on a monthly basis so we can make adjustments at any time. And definitely, Councilor Sutton, the next budget, we have to address it out of full term. But by then, we'll know what days are working and what are not.
What's your motion now? We've got to get concurrence with the report. That's all. Yeah, please.
That the report by Luzer Langa dated April 13th, 2012 regarding the 2012 to 2017 garbage and yard waste contract update and additional yard waste options be received. That in accordance with item B2 of the administrative report, options for additional service, that an extra 5 hour service are provided on Saturdays. You just added that Wednesday's hours remain the same. Is that correct?
No. Can you read that 5 hours back again?
That in accordance with item B2 of the administrative report, options for additional service, that an extra 5 hour service are provided on Saturdays.
Yeah, and I said Wednesdays to be at the discretion of Public Works. To change it from 8 to noon to 10 to 2 or whatever. Is that what you were saying,
yes.
Bob? Yeah.
Okay, so that Wednesdays remain at the discretion of Public Works. And further, that administration provide a follow-up on a monthly basis to determine if the change is sufficient or the matter needs to be readdressed from time to time.
Is that okay with the mover and support?
Okay. I believe so, but Saturday is going to get changed as well. Oh. No, Wednesday, I'm sorry. I'm getting it confused myself thinking about it.
That says administrative report options for additional service, that an extra 5 hour service are provided on Saturdays,
right.
I added that Wednesdays remain at the discretion of Public Works,
right.
As part of your motion.
That's
is that all right with the supporter? With the supporter?
This is Councilor Davies.
Can I just speak to clarification?
Is that all right with the supporter is what I'm asking you?
I want to clarify if it's all right. I want to make sure that the Wednesday isn't going over the number of hours that the workers would normally be working.
No,
that
it's
the four. Okay, and that, I'm fine with that.
Okay. On the motion, Councilor Puget.
And just for clarification, are we going with full-time staff, part-time mm-hmm. staff, or with
almost
students?
Economical.
The cheapest stoppage option?
We got to let Public Works deal with that part.
Please respond to that. We're talking about Saturday, we're not talking full-time.
Mr. Mayor, first of all, the answer to the previous question was that we're getting into overtime. Once we get over 3 o'clock, we're getting into overtime, and over the year, it does amount to that extra cost that Councilor Piedmont was alluding to. And Public Works will endeavor to use the most economical combination of staff, no doubt. What we do have to acknowledge is that the students cannot operate the heavy equipment. And if we do have operations on a Saturday manning simply students, the initial cost is minimal, but then the next day we have to bring in full-timers to operate the equipment. However, we can have a combination of that too, to bring in a full-timer for a few hours. It will still be Saturday, it will still be an overtime issue, but we'll have to try to manage within the guidelines that you presented this evening. And the Wednesday, same thing, we can use the students. We have made an arrangement with the rec department to actually utilize some of their staff at times when they are not busy. And so we're trying the best we can to minimize the cost and still provide the services that is required.
On the motion, Councilor Sutton.
Just a further comment that I think it's a good idea to monitor things, but we got to be careful how often we change things as well, because we are creatures of habit. And the last thing we want to do is, you know, well, we're open at 10. No, wait a minute, it's 9. No, wait a minute, it's 11. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, when are we open? You know, so we want to make sure that our desire to provide better service, that we're providing, you know, service that you can, that there's some consistency there as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Councilor Davis.
Thank you. Just clarification, Lou, with you, is that if the yard is open on the Saturday and then is closed on the Sunday, could we avoid overtime by the full-time workers doing that lifting on the Monday?
Well, yes, we can, but we still have to bring in staff to do that.
On the motion, everybody is clear with the motion? Owen,
no,
please.
No question here.
Go ahead.
Just when you referred to the bring in staff in, Lou, our staff work whether they're at the compound or they're out painting park benches or they're grading roads, do they not? It's just that you will leave them there longer, correct? That's what I don't understand.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. And when they're doing the yard waste, they are not on the roads or the sewers or the other avenues where they should be. True. Okay.
On the motion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 13.2, Second Concession Road, Municipal Drain South. Notice from Doug and Linda Brigden and AMA Sportsman Club request for drain maintenance.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
I move the council receive the report from Lou dated March the 9th, 2012, concerning the Second Concession Road, Municipal Drain South, and the notices from Doug and Linda Brigden and AMA Sportsman Club regarding the drain being out of repair, and council approve the request for drain repairs from Doug and Linda Brigden and the Sportsman's Club, and that maintenance work be undertaken to the Second Concession Road, Municipal Drain South, consisting of bottom cleaning and brushing pursuant to the dimensions and elevations provided in the current 1979 drainage report and schedule for this drain. And further, that council appoint Rood Engineering to prepare a new schedule of assessment under Section 75 of the Drainage Act for the Second Concession Road Drain South.
Whatever happened with concurrence with the recommendation?
I should have done that after I get into it.
Is there a supporter for that? No. Councilor Davies supports that. Further discussions? Councilor Sutton?
No, sorry. I'm already voting.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
I apologize for that, Mr. Mayor. I should have concurred.
Item 13.3, Deslet Municipal Drain. Notice from Don and Richard Deslet. Request for drain maintenance.
Councilor Pilon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll receive the motion for the Dislip drain being out of repair and concur with the recommendation.
They're supported for that motion. Councilor Sutton, discussion on the motion. If not, all in favor? Opposed? Once again, that's carried unanimously.
Item 13.4, Dufour Municipal Drain. Notice from Len Sheehan and Karen Chapman. Request for drain maintenance.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I move that council receive a report from Lou Zarlinga dated April 2nd, 2012 concerning the Dufour Municipal Drain, and the notice is from Len Sheehan and Karen Chapman regarding the drain being out of repair, and that we concur with the rest of the recommendations.
There is support for that. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Again, motion is carried unanimously.
Item 13.5, Powers Municipal Drain, noticed from Brad Laramie, request for drain maintenance.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you. Move receipt of that report and that we approve the recommendation as listed.
Been moved, supported. Deputy Mayor Sutherland, all in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 13.6, Waldron Municipal Drain, notice from Chipcar Farms Limited, request for drain maintenance.
Councilor Puget.
Move for the receipt of the correspondence and the report from Nozarlinga, and that we concur with his recommendation.
Supported by Councilor Davies. Further discussion? Not all in favor? Opposed? Again, motion is carried unanimously.
That brings us to the supplementary agenda under clerks, which is now 17.1, policy closed meeting procedures.
With respect to the supplement.
Do I move it?
There's a motion there, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the report by Brenda dated April 19th regarding policy closed meeting procedures be received, and further that policy closed meeting procedures be adopted as presented.
There's support for that. Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussions? Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to thank the clerk for this thorough and concise report. I think it's something that not only this council, but future councils can certainly have at their fingertips when considering motions to go in camera. I think it covers all the bases and yet allows for an individual's discussion and input as well as far as the act and the exemptions pertain. And I think the fact that there were no comments from either the municipal affairs minister nor the ombudsman's office bears well. I think if there was anything lacking, they would have certainly pointed that out. And finally, I think the recent tweet by the Ombudsman's Office, which reads, hats off to Amherstburg, council is shaping up as transparency and openness aware, speaks volumes as well. So kudos to all concerned. I think this is a great step in the right direction.
On the motion, Councillor DePasquale, Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to comment on that. I called the Ombudsman's Office of the no comments, and that is a standard procedure by most government organizations because we have hired our own lawyer to give us advice and they won't give us advice. I confirm that. I would also like to take this opportunity to commend some of the individuals, councillors, and citizens who came forward in seeking assistance from the Ombudsman's Office, which caused corrections and actions to be taken. Hopefully now we will be more transparent to our residents and are able to move on in a positive manner.
Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And further to that, I agree with my councilor DePasquale. I do thank Brenda for this very detailed report, but I would just warn my fellow councillor Sutton that we shouldn't be patting our back just yet. This is definitely a step in the right direction, but it is very due to the fact that we had citizens in our community and some members of council that had a problem with going in camera, and they sought the advice and the guidance from the Ombudsman's Office. And further to that, we are being investigated for two other meetings, and we don't have the results of that just yet. So, I'm not really certain if the Ombudsman's Office was just tweeting regarding the policy, or if he was, I really think we have to be clear that we're not in the clear just yet, so that we should, not pat ourselves on the back just yet.
On the motion, Councilor Davies.
And I do want to also compliment the clerk. She's done an excellent job. And as I said in the past, I think this is a great teaching tool. But you know, this is a very difficult job to do. I don't think that at any time, in my view, that there is any malice that it goes on. It's a sometimes the agenda is packed. I think that we are taking extraordinary steps to ensure that we're sticking as close to the rules of the Municipal Act as we possibly can. And you know what? If I'm capable of throwing the first stone, I will. But you know, I'm not perfect. None of the people around this table are perfect. But I don't think there's any malice at all. And I really think that we have to be to pat ourselves on the back that we're making such an active effort to be able to go forward and follow the rules as closely as we can. There's always going to be folks who are going to be concerned about things when they're not part of it. In fact, if they're sitting back, but I think that the in-camera meetings that we've been having ever since our initial learning curve, certainly it was a learning curve for myself and a learning curve for others, we've moved along beautifully. And I think that we need to credit ourselves with doing the best job we can. At the same time, I think we have to be very cautious that we are not feeling so uncomfortable that we're afraid to do our due diligence with confidentiality that we that the community deserve, and that people who are being addressed in camera are being addressed confidentially. So I think there's a fine balance, always understanding that our in-camera meetings will be following the Municipal Act and the Sunshine List as best we are. Sunshine booklet as best we can, but it's a very difficult thing because it's very nebulous and it's sometimes very difficult to put your finger on exactly what's going on. So I think that's important to realize. There is no malice, and I think everybody's doing the very, very best job they can. And it's how you view the world, I suppose.
Councillor Pino.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm actually pretty surprised you let a number of speakers get off the report. I mean, we weren't talking about the Ombudsman's report. That report was exactly how to prevent it. That's our policy. That's all it was. And I'm actually a little shocked at it, because usually you're pretty tight on getting off the report.
Sometimes you let them go and let them hear themselves.
But since you did, I think, you know what? It's time, yes, we did make mistakes back. And I think everybody's learned from this, but we have to move ahead. We have to work together. That's what this council is about, to work together. I'm not saying we'll always agree. My God, I don't agree with half of these guys sometimes. But we at the end, you have to work together. And that's be my whole point from this, all this ombudsman affair, is that they're telling us, yeah, we did it right the last couple times. So great, now we know how to do it properly, so let's do it properly. But let's work together, no more bickering. We have to work together. I can't say it again, I just...
Please.
One more time?
Yeah. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed, the motion is carried. Next item.
That brings us to consent reports. There's two reports before council.
Councillor Sutton.
Move that the consent reports as listed in items 1 and 2 be received.
Been moved. Is there a supporter? Councillor Davies supports the motion. Discussion? All in favor? Carried.
Consent correspondence. There's 8 items before council.
Councillor Sutton, once again.
I'd like to move that we receive items 1 through 6 and 8, and that we deal with number 7 separately.
Here's support for that, Councillor Pinon. Discussion on the motion, all in favor? Motion is carried. Item 7.
Item 7, I'd like to put forward a motion that Townsville support the Verde Club by purchasing a table to their special club dinner.
Here's support for that. Councillor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Consent other minutes. There are 2 sets of minutes before council.
Your 2 sets of minutes, the Services Board and the Coan Park. Councilor Pedo.
Mayor, I'll move that the consent minutes be received, item 1 and 2.
Been moved. Is there a supporter? Councilor DePasquale supports it. Any further discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 22, other minutes, traffic committee minutes from the meeting of February 22nd.
Is council's pleasure relative to those minutes of February the 22nd for the traffic committee? Councilor Pilon?
Motion to receive the traffic committee minutes, and further that council concur with the recommendation that Public Works Department incorporate a light timing study with the intersection study at the intersection of Elma and Sandridge Street.
There's supporter for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Further discussions? Councilor Puget, followed by Councilor Pilon.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Councilor Pilon. I believe I understand what the Refuge Island is, and it's in front of General Amherst High School. I just wondered if there's enough room, if the road is wide enough, and if the school board has been questioned or kept apprised of this situation.
Please.
If I may, it was a excuse me, it was a local resident that brought it to us. He came to the traffic committee. The committee took it, and we asked for a report back from the study that's going on Samory Street. And Lou, I think we got, did we get a recommendation on that? I think it came to our next meeting, but can you speak to that, Lou, on it?
Actually, Mr. Mayor, we have a consultant traffic engineer that did our traffic study. He is working on it. He's reaching the end of the project, and I can report back to council even through Christina the progress of our engineer in that regard.
Okay. Follow up.
As a follow up, has the school board been informed about this study, or for any input?
If I may,
well, sure.
And not through the traffic committee, that hasn't. I don't know what Public Works have done. This has been an ongoing study for quite some time to clear up that area. But I think everybody knows what that Island of Refuge is. It's just a media down the center, and that's okay. What we're waiting for.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Unfinished business?
Any unfinished business? Hearing none. New business? Councilor Sutton?
Yeah, I've got a couple items. First of all, just a report out of IRCA. As you know, Councilor Pilon and myself are the town representatives on that committee, and a couple of good news items to share. A lot of the times, you know, we look at the IRCA levy that we pay and wonder, you know, just how much bang for our buck we get. And I'm pleased to report since 2007, Amherstburg has paid a net levy of just over $645,000 and received a return on that investment to the tune of $4.392 million. That's the highest net return of investment of $3.7 million of all Windsor-Essex municipalities. So certainly in terms of the bangs for the buck we're getting from IRCA, Amherstburg is second to none. Second of all, I'm pleased to report, this has already made the news, that as it's well documented, IRCA has a goal of increasing natural cover to 12% by the year 2012. We've been proud to report an increase of from 7.5 to 8.5% coverage, so it's moving in the right direction. And it's interesting to see where Amherstburg stands in that. Leading the way, which is no great surprise, at 22.6% natural coverage is Pelee Island. Then in terms of the Windsor-Essex landlocked municipalities, we have LaSalle leading the way at 16.3% natural coverage, and Amherstburg comes in second at 16% coverage. And then we fall off to our neighbors in Essex at 9.1%. So certainly Amherstburg is doing its share along with our friends at IRCA to ensure that natural cover is restored to our area, and I think we should celebrate that good news and applaud the efforts of the town as a whole on that one. So I just wanted to bring those items out. And then second of all, I'd like to put forward a motion, since we are in the midst of a organizational review, that council imposes a hiring freeze until such time as that review is completed.
On the motion.
I need a second.
On the motion, if they're supportive for it, Councilor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussion, Councilor Sutton, followed by Councilor Davey, followed by Councilor Pouget.
For clarification, is that a motion that's proper under new business? I could see it fitting under new business since it's been here before the organization review, but I could also see where an argument can be made that it's better served as a notice of motion. So
you could do it either way, really. I, to be very honest with you, I see no problem with it.
Well, we're still in unfinished business, so
yeah.
We have to.
New business.
When did we go out of unfinished business?
Well, we went out of there when we come to new business, when nobody had anything.
I had my hand up.
Well, I never seen it then, and we can go back to, but you never had your hand up. When we went to new business, then you started doing that. So we'll go back to you on this issue on the agenda. On the motion, Councilor Davis, sure.
Just a brief comment. I want to congratulate IRCA for reaching that target above to be above target for the date that it was to be met for tree coverage. I think that's wonderful. This being Earth Day, I think it would really be useful. It's a good news report for Earth Day, but I would suggest that possibly to help with consciousness raising, we in Amherstburg could consider having our own Earth Day tree planting next year, so that we continue to encourage it, because 16% is great, but if we can increase it from there, we'll be doing even better. So if you could take it back to IRCA that to consider having an event in Amherstburg for Earth Day, because there were other places, but not here.
Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have some old business too, but I didn't have my hand up at the time. I do too have some old business I'd like to bring up, if you don't mind.
Let's deal with it first.
Didn't we vote on it?
Yeah. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we voted on it.
No, we haven't. Councillor Pouget.
I agree. It's a great job done by IRCA, and it's good to see that we have this tree coverage. My question is to Councillor Sutton. Do you know the date that we had the 16% tree coverage, when the date was...
Those figures make up the current 8.5% increase, so the increase of 1%. So those are the current data, the most up-to-date that IRCA has.
And that was just done recently?
That's correct.
As of what date? Do you know?
I'd have to check the actual report. But for everyone's information, it can be found online at the IRCA website under the last Board of Directors meeting. There's a full report.
Okay. Now, would that take into consideration people who've cut down trees since that time?
I'm sure it would. The date of the actual aerial photographs and satellite imagery would be the date of the natural coverage. And certainly while every tree is important, I don't think there's been any substantial cuttings anywhere in the county of Essex that would take away from that overall figure.
Thank you. I think it's important, and I think Councillor Davies touched on it really, and that is the fact there are times when you have to look back and say, in spite of all of this, we have made these achievements. And so certainly those are the things that we like to hear. When one thinks, it wasn't that long ago, it was 3.5, and so we have made some great strides relative to getting tree cover back in our particular area. But having said that, what I did say to the mover and supporter of your recommendation as it relates to the freeze on the hiring, I said, since it's not a real time-sensitive issue, I would suggest that you would hold it in abeyance or withdraw it, and then we can do it under a notice of motion.
I'll gladly withdraw the motion and bring it up as a notice of motion.
Most certainly. So anything else under new business? Hearing none. Next on our agenda is unfinished.
Thank you.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Sutherland said he was waving his hand when we were under new business. And, I only got one eye, but it's good. He wasn't waving his hand until we went to new business. Go ahead.
I won't even comment on that.
Good.
The one thing that I have, and I see Mr. Kidd in the audience, and I'd just like to ask, if I may, on our unfinished business regarding municipal drainage study, rural drains and urban storm sewers, Councillor DePasquale asked this at the last meeting, and as I recall, Mr. Mayor, you directed Lou to get a hold of Mr. Kidd and let him know what it is. Like on here, all it says is 2 or 3 months, but Mr. Kidd would like an update from you, Lou, just exactly what's transpiring. He hasn't heard anything.
Did you find out?
Mr. Mayor and Council, I've got two people working on this from Public Works, and we're looking at another approximately two months to get this finished.
But the point is, I think it's just an effort in courtesy that the concern that was given the individual could have been addressed and told exactly where we're at. That's all we're saying. Councillor Davies.
Thank you.
Unfinished business.
It's on this.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I do think, and I appreciate how hard our staff work. I really do know how hard they work. But it is useful if sometimes even we get update reports on where we're at, not just that we've ended a project, because I think it relieves a lot of tension and makes people feel a little bit more comfortable with the progress. And I understand that you get going and you're just going from one project to another and there's a lot on your plate, but any department is really helpful just to communicate, not there yet, these are the 3, 5, 10 things we have to do first, just to give people in any of the questions of the community.
Well, I think it just keeps people in line with understanding exactly where it's at. It hasn't been forgotten, you're still working on it, and that type of contact is very important. Still under unfinished business, Councillor Peel.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Actually, it was the same item that our deputy mayor had. Obviously, Jeff had done his homework and talked to everybody. So, there should be a resolution coming pretty soon. That's all. This has been on our plate for a long time, Lou, and we need it as soon as possible.
Okay. Anything else under unfinished business? Nothing. New business is done. That brings us to. Bylaws?
Notice
of motion is what you're looking for? Councillor Sutton.
I'll give notice that council entertain a motion to entertain a hiring freeze until such time as our organizational review is completed.
Any further notices of motions? None? Bylaws?
First bylaw is bylaw to amend zoning bylaw and 19952, and that would be bylaw 2012-25.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move that bylaw 2012-25, being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 19952, be taken as having been read 3 times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same thereto.
You're a supporter for that motion. Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Further dialogue? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Bylaw 2012-28, bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 19952.
Again, with council's pleasure, Councillor Puget.
That bylaw 2012-28, being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 199-52, be taken as having been read 3 times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same thereto.
They are supportive for that motion. Councillor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously. Next bylaw.
Bylaw 2012-30, bylaw to amend zoning bylaw
19952. Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move that bylaw 2012-30, being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 199-52, be read 3 times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same thereto.
There's supporter, Councilor DePasquale supports that. Any discussion on that bylaw? Councilor Puget.
Did you say bylaw 2012-32? I don't have that.
No. 2012-30.
It amends bylaw 199-52.
Right. Right. I know that, but that's not what the Wilbur said.
Perhaps I misspoke.
Did it? Okay.
If I misspoke, I'll say it again. Bylaw 2012-30.
Is that okay with the supporter? On the motion, all in favor? Motion is carried.
Bylaw 2012-33, confirmatory bylaw from the council meetings of April 16th and the 23rd.
Councilor DePasquale.
Move that bylaw 2012-33 being a bylaw to confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held on April 16th and the 23rd, 2012, be taken as having been read three times and finally passed the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same thereto.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Further discussions? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously. That brings us to the portion of our meeting. Councilor Sutton.
Motion to adjourn.
It's been moved by Councilor Sutton, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you and have a safe evening.